Good gracious, that was amazing. It was amazing. So good. As they are making their way downstairs, I want to make sure, you know, we have a season of amazing stuff going on right now. I want to make sure that you are marking your calendar, certainly for every Sunday morning as we gather for Advent. But next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to have the Journey to Bethlehem. And we've kind of, I think it's going to look a little different this year than it's looked in previous years. It's in the afternoon. And the whole idea is that we come together as a community and kind of mark this season in a meaningful way. And so there's going to be some activities that happen from 4 to 5, ways to kind of lean into some of the spiritual practices that come with Advent, maybe a wreath or some other things that we'll do together. At 5 o'clock, then we're going to come in here. We're going to have a time of worship. And we're doing all of this in partnership with Ministerio Gracia, which is the church that worships in here in our building on Fridays and Saturdays. And so the worship that we're going to do both in Spanish and in English. I'm really, really excited. Just a beautiful time for us to worship together in the midst of this season. So please mark your calendar for that. Excuse me. And also, while you're checking the weekly email so you can sign up to go to Greece with us, also look for the link for Journey to Bethlehem. We really need volunteers for that. We want to be really good hosts for the community that we're inviting in, and so we want to be really intentional about how we host them, and we need everybody to volunteer. And I did really short little volunteer segments, so you can just do 30 minutes, but it gives you the opportunity to host the people in the community that are coming in for that. So look for that. Certainly, we are in this really beautiful, amazing, and holy season of Advent, and so we want to spend some time over these next couple weeks looking at that. We're going to look at the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And at the beginning of the first chapter of the book of Luke, we meet Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is married to Zechariah. Now, both of them are descendants of Aaron. This means that they both come from the priestly tribe. It means that Zechariah is a priest. It means that Elizabeth was the daughter of a priest. Early in the first chapter, Luke tells us that both of them, both Elizabeth and Zechariah, were righteous before God, living blamelessly and according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. However, in spite of all of their faithfulness for all of these years, living in all of the ways they're supposed to live, sometimes biology still biologies, and they had not been able to conceive. Until, as we work our way through chapter 1, Elizabeth is well past the advanced maternal age, and yet the angel Gabriel comes to visit them and tells them Elizabeth is pregnant. And that his name shall be John. Hey, Drew, will you grab my tea from under there, please, and bring that up to me real quick? Excuse me. Elizabeth is pregnant, and the baby's name will be John. Thank you. You're welcome to get some tea, too, if you would like to have some. And that John will prepare the way for the Lord. And so Elizabeth, who has been waiting patiently for all of these years, finds herself entering into this new season of more waiting. Waiting this time with a promise. Waiting this time for this child who has been promised to her. Luke then jumps scenes to Mary, Elizabeth's cousin. Mary is on the other side, age-wise. She's young and unwed and just found out that she's pregnant with the Son of God. This is big news, and when the angel delivers this news to Mary, the angel also mentioned that, hey, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. So the first thing that Mary does is when she learns of her pregnancy and Elizabeth's pregnancy, she runs to visit Elizabeth. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us why she goes to visit. It doesn't tell us if she's really excited or if she's really scared. It doesn't tell us if she's going to plan a big double baby shower or if she's going to hide out for a little while. All we know is that she goes. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning in the book of Luke. So as we turn to the gospel, first, let me pray for us. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity to gather together, to be in your presence. Lord, to be in your word. So we pray that you would speak, that you would keep our hearts tender to the movement of your spirit, that of course this encounter with you may be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. Speak, dear God. In your name we pray, amen. So this is Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, I was overseeing the vacation Bible school in the church where I was serving. It's a week in the summer where the kids come together and learn all about Jesus and sing songs, and I'm overseeing it, but we have this kid in VBS, and I'll be real frank with you, this kid was like raining terror upon VBS. Like, he's talking back, he's running and hiding, he's bullying other kids. Quite frankly, he's bullying the adults. Like, it's kind of a mess. And then the leaders, in this fit of exasperation, they came and they said, "You've got to do something about this kid." This was a visiting family. I didn't know them very well. I didn't know the kid. I didn't know the mom. And so that night, it's the middle of the week, and so that night, I call the mom, and I introduce myself, and I said, we really want your child to have a good experience in VBS, and we're clearly not connecting. Is there something that I can do to help your child engage in a more helpful way?" And I'm not proud of what I said next, but I said it. I'll admit it. I told the mom on the phone, it's just, he's kind of all over the place. Bless his heart. And I could hear the deep sigh of the mother on the other end of the phone, and she said, "You know, we're not from around here, but I have heard in the South, when people say, 'Bless your heart,' you're not being nice." I've heard it's actually a Southern way of covering up what you really want to say. I try to backpedal as best I can. "Oh, no, that's not what I meant. But, I mean, we were at our wits' end." But then the mom explained to me that the weekend before VBS, that the child's father had left the house. They were going through this terrible separation and a divorce, and that the child wasn't handling it well. Of course, he's acting out at VBS. His soul is aching. What he needed then from me, from the church where we were, from Vacation Bible School, what he needed was a real blessing, a real one, and not like a Southern cover-up from something that's not kind, but for someone to speak real words of blessing and kindness into his life. I wonder if Mary felt some kind of similar way. I wonder if she was worried at all about the people around town who are whispering and pointing and saying, "Oh, bless her heart," to one another when they think she's not listening. I mean, who is going to believe that this young girl who has no husband, but she's telling everyone she's pregnant because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her? I can just see it now, right, that all the gossiping ladies get together and they're playing their weekly bridge game and they're like, "You heard about that Mary girl, right? Oh, I did. Bless her heart. Oh, can you even imagine how her mama must be feeling? I know. I saw her at Publix with a cart full of ice cream and pickles. I know she's so embarrassed. Bless her heart." And that's the thing. When the world determines what is the truth, not only does the world get it wrong, But the world will offer us these empty, meaningless platitudes that are more a declaration of condemnation than they are actual gifts of promise. And I think that is what makes Elizabeth one of the most holy women in all of Scripture. Because when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, she doesn't hear the voice of someone who's too young or too disgraced or too ashamed. If Elizabeth has any idea what the world is saying, she's not listening to that. Instead, what she hears is the voice of one who is bearing the Son of God into the world. The one who brings a gift that is too great to even comprehend. The one who literally bears a promise. And that promise, that moment of hearing the voice of promise is so great that Elizabeth feels her child leap inside of her. And she exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And I am confident she doesn't mean it as a Southern cover-up. Elizabeth offers her words as a gift, as a declaration, not as the world gives, but as God gives. With that blessing that she gives, she begins this series of blessing that the gospel writer of Luke is going to continue all the way through the birth narrative of Jesus. We're going to hear blessings coming from Mary and Zechariah and Simeon as they all add their blessings to Elizabeth's. They're giving life to the joy, to the delight, to the praise of the Christ child. Praising God for what God is doing at this moment in history and recognizing that being a part of God's work is a blessing. When Elizabeth pronounces Mary as blessed, I want to make sure you see that in that section, there's twice that she uses two different words for blessing. It's a way of emphasizing how important and big this blessing is. In the first part, when Elizabeth pronounces Mary as blessed among women and blessed is the fruit of her womb, she uses the Greek word eulogomenos. The word, that Greek word, and the tense of that Greek word, it emphasizes both the present and the future generations that will bless and praise and speak of her and her child. But then at the very end of the passage, in verse 45, when we read, "Blessed is she who believes," that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord, there she uses the word makaria. It's the same term that Jesus is going to use later in the Beatitudes when he says, "Blessed are they who." So we could translate it. My point here is we could translate this as, "Happy is Mary who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken." Do you see what I'm saying? Mary is blessed because in spite of what the world has to say, God has a bigger truth, and Mary recognizes that. Her social status has been reversed. She is honored rather than shamed for bearing this child, but she's also been blessed with divine joy because she believes that God is able to do what God says God will do. Elizabeth declares Mary to be blessed. In a time when Mary could very well be feeling all sorts of ways, Elizabeth comes around her and speaks these words of blessings, claims that promise on behalf of Mary. And don't we all need Elizabeths in our lives? People who will speak into our lives when our own souls are struggling to hear the voice of God. I am grateful to be a part of this family where we got all sorts of Elizabeths in here. I'll tell you that one Sunday, as I'm leaving church after worship, I'm leaving church and I get a text from one of you. It was this gorgeous text and it said, "Lindsay, that was the best sermon I've ever heard in my entire life." And I was like, "Yes." And I'm so honored, and I'm just so touched that I've gotten this beautiful text. And so we go to the staff meeting that week, and I'm like, "Y'all, you're not going to believe this text." And I tell them about the text. And I can't help but smile because every other person in the room said, "Yeah, I've gotten that same text from her." What a gift she is. that she knows how to be an Elizabeth for people, to speak words of blessing and kindness and encouragement into lives. It's just how she's made. What a gift for this family that we have Elizabeths here. I will tell you, there's a time in my life when things felt very out of control. It caused me, and sometimes still causes me, great distress. I called a dear friend of mine one time in tears, and I just kept saying, I don't know how to do this. I can't figure out how to fix this. I can't figure out how to make this right. And she took a deep breath, and she said, you know you need to surrender this to God. It's not yours to be in control of. And as a matter of fact as I could, I said back to her, no, I will not. I will not surrender it. I'm not interested in trying to even surrender it. And she said, okay, then I will do it for you. I will claim God's promise to hold you and to love you and to be at work in this situation. She was Elizabeth to me. When all I could hear was the world shouting at me that I needed to fix this in order for me to be good enough, I needed to get this fixed, she claimed God's presence and God's blessing, and she spoke it out loud over me when I wasn't sure I could muster up enough breath to utter the words myself. I'm so grateful that she was Elizabeth for me. We need Elizabeths. And we need Elizabeths to keep speaking and to keep claiming and keep reminding us of the promises of God. And here's the thing about the blessings that these Elizabeths remind us of, that they claim for us. Here's the thing that I want to make sure you're seeing about blessings in the Bible, is that in the Bible, blessings are not a reflection of the present, but rather they are a promise for the future, which isn't what the world tells us. But over and over again in the Bible, what we are seeing is that blessings are not reflections of the present, but rather a promise for the future. And certainly we see that here with Elizabeth and Mary as they're holding on to the words that the angel Gabriel tells them, the promise of the coming Christ child. But if we all go all the way back to the people of God and the people in covenant with God, if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, we read about the time that the Lord appears to this man named Abram, and God just kind of shows up one day and starts giving instructions and says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When God shows up and starts speaking all of this stuff to Abram, Abram has no idea where he's going to go or how it's going to be possible for him to become a great nation. He has no idea about the journey he's about to take. He has no idea how he's going to grow into a great people. He has no idea that his grandson is going to have a grandson who's going to be Levi, who's going to have another grandson named Aaron, and then we know that Hannah and Zechariah are going to come from that tribe. He has no idea about his grandson Judah, who's eventually going to lead to the Jesus, to the Christ child. He has no idea, but won't God do it? God is a God of big promises, of big blessings, but the blessings are always connected to waiting. Waiting on God. And so as we move into this Advent season, we acknowledge that we are people who have been blessed. And by this, it means we are a people of waiting. The theologian Shirley Guthrie says, in Advent, we are called to wait. Not for what we want, but for what God promises. And that is the promise of the blessing. It's a promise that we don't wait for in vain. It's a promise that the Christ child changes everything, a promise that God doesn't leave us alone in our waiting. And so as we move through this season, for these next weeks, as we move through the Advent season, I would invite you, encourage you to mark that waiting as we walk our way through. Know that that waiting is a part of the blessing that God has for you. And week after week, as the light on the Advent candle grows, we will acknowledge that waiting moves us closer and closer to the Christ child, the blessing that God has for us. And may it be so in my life and in yours. Amen.